and welcome to the Thursday, May 25th edition of Juno Afternoon, coming at you live from Alaska's capital city, specifically the KTOO studios. We've got a great show. We'll be chatting about UAS's Conference for Teachers, A Summer in the Rainforest, a new program. We'll also get an overview of the CBJ pools with guest Julie Jackson, and then we'll get a snapshot of the Southeast Alaska State Fair and end with Nancy DeCherney in Arts Up. All that and more. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A South Dakota court case involving a short-lived marijuana growing operation by the Flandreau Santee Sioux Tribe has ended. A marijuana consultant who looked to help the tribe with the startup was acquitted of all charges. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt reports.
Eric Hagen worked with the Flandreau Santee Sioux Tribe in southeast South Dakota in 2015. The tribe was working to develop a growing operation to legally sell marijuana. Tribes across the country, including the Flandreau Santee Sioux, started exploring the business after the federal government issued a policy statement on marijuana issues in Indian Country a few years ago. Hagen was facing drug conspiracy and other charges at trial. He testified he left the operation after the tribe burned the crop in fears of a federal raid. Prosecutors reportedly tried to tie Hagen to daily management of the tribe's grow room. It took jurors just a couple of hours to find Hagen not guilty of all charges. South Dakota Attorney General Marty Jackley, who came out against the operation from the beginning, says he respects the jurors' decision. He says he's urging other state tribes to consider the idea marijuana growing operations can affect public health and safety. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellen Bolt.
Arizona Democratic Congressman Tom O'Halloran honored Navajo co-talker Yodel Belay this week on the House floor in Washington. As Arizona Public Radio's Ryan Heinches reports, the co-talker passed away this month.
Belay was an Army veteran and fought against the Germans in Italy during World War II. He, along with other tribal members, created an unbreakable code that helped the Allies win the war. O'Halloran said the work of Belay and other co-talkers saved the lives of countless soldiers and civilians.
We can never repay the debts that we owe Mr. Belay, co-talkers from all our tribal nations and our veterans. But I am proud and humbled to stand before you today to bring attention to his service and honor his legacy.
Belay was awarded 3 commendations, including the American Defense Service Medal. O'Halloran said he'll be remembered as an active member of his community as well as a loving father and grandfather. Belay was buried in Tonalea, Arizona, on the Navajo Nation. He was 97. According to the Navajo Times, it's believed fewer than 20 World War II code talkers are still alive, though no official count exists. For National Native News, I'm Ryan Heinches in Flagstaff.
A gaming website created by an Oklahoma tribe faces more setbacks, the Associated Press reports. The venture by the Iowa tribe was originally set to launch in 2016. It's backed by the Universal Entertainment Group. The National Indian Gaming Commission is investigating the group for a failed deal with another Oklahoma tribe. The group allegedly did not launch a gaming website in 2012 for the Cheyenne and Arapaho tribes. The tribes paid more than $9 million for the project. 86 Democrats in Congress say Congress controls existing national monuments and not President Trump. The U.S. lawmakers are highlighting the authority over the monuments and other federally protected sites in light of the Interior Department Secretary Ryan Zinke's ongoing review of 27 national monuments across the country. Arizona Congressman Raul Grijalva sent a letter to Zinke this week raising concerns. The letter comes as the deadline for the public comment period ends Friday on Bears Ears, a sacred site in Utah a number of tribes are seeking to protect. Other monuments are open to public review until the middle of July. Zinke is expected to deliver a preliminary report to the White House in June. Tribes in the Northwest are celebrating the Memorial Day weekend with an annual salmon run, which begins Friday at the mouth of the Klamath River and ends Sunday with a powwow at the Klamath County Fairgrounds in Oregon. More than 200 people are expected to take part in the 300-mile relay to highlight fisheries and oppose threats to fish and water. Tribes have been hit hard this year due to low salmon counts. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support by Ramona Farms, offering wholesome and delicious foods from our heirloom crops as our contribution to a better diet for the benefit of all people. We are honored to share our centuries-old farming and culinary traditions online at RamonaFarms.com. Support by the Sisseton, Wahpeton, Oyate Tribes, Dakota Western Corporation, and SWO Plastics. Commercial strength trash bags from 3 to 65 gallons for industrial use by casinos, the IHS, and more. DakotaWesternCorp.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
It is 6 minutes past the hour, and currently it is 56 degrees in Alaska's capital city. Light rain, highs in the mid-50s. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of light rain, lows in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, highs around 60. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy, lows around 40. And Saturday, we're back to sunny, highs around 60. So you're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. And we start the show every Thursday with a representative from University of Alaska Southeast. We have Frank Conrad in the studio with us. He is the K-12 Outreach and Summer Programming person over at UAS. And he's here to talk about a great new program for K-12 teachers that's happening this summer. Welcome to the program, Frank.
Well, thank you so much. And although the posters say teachers, we're also inviting community members to this event as well.
Excellent.
So this is our inaugural event this year. It is called Summer in the Rainforest 2017. And the focus of this year is arts integration. So we are so happy to be able to partner with many great organizations from the Alaska Arts Education Consortium, the Sea Alaska, Gold Belt Heritage, the program, Any Given Child program here in the city, as well as Artful Teaching. So we've got lots and lots of great people that have worked with us on this program.
Great. So there are two separate weeks.
Yep.
You could sign up for one or the other. They start in July. One is Teachers, Artists, Artists as Teachers, and the second one is Indigenous Arts, Embody Living History.
Right. So it's for those folks that are wanting a two-week event. It's called Basic and Beyond Arts Institute, and it's run by the Alaska Arts Education Consortium. There's an optional 4-credit opportunity for those folks, and the first week will be the pedagogy around that area of education, and then the second week they'll join us for the Indigenous Arts Institute. And the same thing goes with the artists as teachers, and that's sponsored by the JAC. And those artists who would like to be on the roster for the district to be able to be in the classroom, there's a great opportunity to learn about classroom management and preparation of class, et cetera, et cetera. That's going to be that first week. And then those folks can join us as well.
That sounds great for all those residency programs. Throughout the state, specifically JSD.
Exactly.
But this is open to anyone, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So how can people find out more information?
Please, on our website as well, UASAlaska.edu. And also the registration is happening through the Alaska Arts Education Consortium, and that is on their website as well, and the JAC website. So or they can also call me directly at the university as well. Connect with me at the university.
Right. So one of them is taking place July 24th through 29th, and then the second one is immediately after the 30th of July through August 4th. And Frank and I were talking off air before we invited you into the conversation, and out of the 50 slots, more than half are already taken, which is great.
Yeah. So can I just say a few things about that second week, that Indigenous Arts piece? So we'll start on Sunday with a great opportunity for folks to take a catamaran excursion through Auk Bay and then Berners Bay, and then on Monday – We'll have a session on history and the meaning and principles of farmland design by Lance Twitchell. On Tuesday, we'll be getting in touch with self and discovering history and meaning through song, dance, and storytelling with Lyle James. And then we are so thrilled to have Ernestine Hayes, our Alaska Writer Laureate, doing our Wednesday, and her session will be history and meaning through writing about self and place. And so all, and then on Thursday, folks will have the opportunity to create and work of their own in writing or in art, and then we'll have a celebration at the on Friday. So it's going to be a great, great event.
That sounds amazing. So what's the cost for these?
So right now, thank you for asking. We, because of our partners, well, the cost is $450, but everything's being absorbed. Mostly everything is being absorbed through through scholarships. So Sea Alaska Heritage has given us some scholarships as well as stipends. The Artful Teaching Program has given us some opportunities as well. So right now, all 25 folks are all scholarshiped, and even some of those folks are getting stipends. So so we haven't had anybody having to pay out of pocket yet.
Okay, so do you Please. Hear the stampede of people saying, and where do I get it?
Exactly,
what is your number?
Exactly, exactly. 796-8100.
Okay, over at the University of Alaska University, Southeast, yeah. And this takes place at UAS on campus.
It does.
And is it a residence situation?
Sure. So there are folks that are coming from outside the city. They can connect straight with our residence hall, and they will be able to accommodate living opportunities on campus.
Okay, and then you could, if you live here,
exactly.
You could just...
Of course.
That sounds great. Okay, so once again, it's Summer in the Rainforest. It's a new program. It sounds fantastic. Happening
right.
at University of Alaska Southeast, which
right.
is universities throughout the country yeah. are multi-use campuses in the summer,
exactly.
and this is one of them, but it benefits
yeah.
Juneau and the state terrifically.
Yeah, and you know, instead of calling, you can also email me. Is it okay if I give you my email?
Absolutely.
So it's F. Conrad, and it's spelled CONRAAD at alaska.edu.
Sounds great. All right. First week, teachers, artists, artists as teachers. Second one, Indigenous arts embody living history. There's lots of scholarships available,
yes.
and it's open to teachers and community members.
Exactly.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for
coming
in today.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 25th of May, 2017. It's the birthday of Ralph Waldo Emerson, born Boston, 1803, who, in his book Nature, 1836, introduced the concept of transcendentalism, the idea that spiritual truth could be gained by intuition rather than by established doctrine or text. Ralph Waldo Emerson, who said, "To be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment." He said, "Finish each day and be done with it. You have done what you could. Some blunders and absurdities no doubt crept in. Forget them as soon as you can. Tomorrow is a new day. You shall begin it serenely and with too high a spirit to be encumbered with your old nonsense." It's the birthday of the writer-novelist Raymond Carver, born in Clatskanie, Oregon, 1938, grew up in Yakima, Washington. He got married right out of high school to his 16-year-old girlfriend, had a couple of kids. He took a creative writing class at Chico State in California, got interested in writing fiction, went off to the Iowa Writers Workshop, worked as a night janitor in a hospital, and began writing stories about the working poor, the people who lived paycheck to paycheck and whose livelihoods depended on whether their cars would start so they could get to work in the morning. He was an alcoholic like his father before him, but he got sober. 1977, following year, he met the poet Tess Gallagher. They fell in love, and they were together for 10 years. He died in 1988 of lung cancer. It's the birthday of the poet Theodore Rethke, Saginaw, Michigan, 1908, when he was 14 years old. His uncle committed suicide. His father later died of cancer, which affected him for the rest of his life. Studied English in college, had a nervous breakdown in 1935, was treated for a while, began writing what would become his first collection of poetry. Open House, he worked on it for 10 years, came out in 1941. Theodore Rethke, who liked to refer to himself as the oldest younger poet in the USA. And it's the birthday of the novelist and essayist Jamaica Kincaid, born in Antigua, 1949, author of Annie John, autobiography of my mother. She was a voracious reader as a kid. One of her favorite books was Herman Melville's Moby Dick. She said, "I read every sentence twice because I couldn't believe how beautiful it was." When she was a teenager, her mother shipped her off to New York City, where she worked as a nanny. Jamaica Kincaid, who said, "When I start to write something, I suppose I want it to change me, to make me into something not myself. When I write a book, I hope to be beyond mortal by the time I'm finished." Here's a poem for today by Raymond Carver entitled "Loafing." I looked into the room a moment ago, and this is what I saw. My chair in its place by the window, the book turned face down on the table, and on the sill, the cigarette left burning in its ashtray. "Malingerer," my uncle yelled at me. So long ago. He was right. I've set aside time today, same as every day, for doing nothing at all. Poem by Raymond Carver, "Loafing," from his collection All of Us, published by Alfred A. Knopf and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
It is 17 and a half minutes past the hour. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Hey, here's some public service announcements for you. The July 4th parade. Entry forms are now available at Cycle Alaska Downtown and Juno Public Library in the Valley. The deadline for entry is June 25th, but it's happening July 4th. School ends tomorrow. You know, we're here. And also, speaking of summer, Broken Glass cleanup on Sandy Beach. That's this Saturday, 9 to 11. Contact Grateful Dogs of Juno to find out how you can make Sandy Beach a safer place for two-legged and four-legged beachgoers this summer. So, and one more, Safe Grad Party, Sunday, May 28th, 10 p.m. to 2:17 a.m., exactly, 2:17 a.m. To find out more, this is sponsored by Parents for a Safe Graduation. You've got questions, call 321-2933, Safe Grad Party, something we could all definitely get behind. So here in the studio with Jeff Brown and myself, Joan Pardis, we have representatives of CBJ's Parks and Recs, that's the City and Borough of Juneau. We have Julie Jackson from the Parks and Recs, and then we have Rob Niederhaus, who is a lifeguard and lead fitness instructor over at the pools. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
So what is new in the aquatics division of Parks and Rec?
We are gearing up for summer, which means swim lessons. Registration for a lot of sessions begins June 5th. So our registration schedule for the whole summer is up online, as well as Summer Swim League, which is for kids who have kind of grown out of swim lessons but are ready for the next level, as well as some parent-child classes. So we're here just to remind people summer's around the corner. We're getting our swim lesson schedules going, as well as our summer open swims. So our afternoons are kind of changing up a little bit, shaking it up with afternoon open swims for the kiddos when they're off school. send them over to the pool. We'll take care of them for a few hours, and they
Sounds
can play
great.
And have fun.
So if you are new to the pool services, so you want to look at those swim schedules, and you want to register because they fill up, is that
they
correct?
They do. So swim lessons, especially for preschool youth, fill up very quickly for both pools. And we're kind of doing something a little different. We're going to do the first session. It's 2 weeks straight at a Diamond Park, and then we're going to flip-flop back and forth between the two pools for the next few sessions. We also have some scholarship opportunities. We've got some great donations from the Gagin Foundation. They've donated money to help us support swim lessons as well as 10 visit pass, again, for youth. So we've got scholarship page on our website, junopools.org. You can register for, if you're a youth, 8 to 17, to get a free 10 visit pass to use throughout the summer, which is an awesome opportunity. We're really thankful for that. And then also for swim lessons as well, we've got about 26 scholarships available for the full coverage of either preschool youth or even parent-child, and then also the Summer Swim League as well. So kind of all ages.
That's great. And then if they just search CBJ Parks and Rec, they'll find you?
Yeah, if you go to junopools.org or you can find us on Facebook now, facebook.com/junopools, you'll find us, or just Google us. It'll click on one of the pools, put Juno Pools, you'll find us.
Excellent.
We're there.
Excellent. So what's the swim league like?
The Summer Swim League is like an introduction to competitive swimming. So some kids, when they age out of the swim lesson program, they go right on into the Glacier Swim Club, which is competitive swimming. And some kids, you know, maybe aren't ready for that just yet. Maybe they're not confident. This provides an opportunity for kids of all ages who maybe want to dabble in it but don't want to have, you know, serious commitment just yet. So it's only 2 days a week for about 8 weeks, and there's some mini meets, non-competitive. We just give them the opportunity to go through the motions of swim meets, and then at the end we'll have a big potluck on the last mini meet, so parents and kids can celebrate their successes through the season.
And what's the age range on that?
It is, well, it kind of depends. About 7 to 17. Typically, we get kids between 7 and 13 is the average, but we take any age that wants to. And there's a minimum skill level, so the very specific requirements are on our website. But basically, it's 25 yards swimming on the front and 25 on the back, and some other minimum age requirements, about 7 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And Rob, what's your life like as a lifeguard? Which pool do you work at, or do you work at both?
I work a little bit at both pools, mostly at Augustus Brown Swimming Pool. Do a little bit of everything, lifeguarding, teach some learn to swim to the preschool. And I presently do quite a bit of aquatics classes, aqua aerobics, and the Tai Chi.
Can you tell us about that? What are the aquatic
aerobics?
What is the aquatic aerobics and the lessons.
Aquatics aerobics, I think, is a really good way to start your exercise program or get back into a routine. We like to welcome everybody. You don't have to know how to swim. We welcome all ages, levels, abilities, and genders. The water actually helps reduce discomfort. You know, I work with a lot of what we call aging adults in my aquatics classes, and it's a more comfortable way to get a workout without reducing any pain or joint discomfort. It's a fun social environment. We all know that all aging adults, as we all are, should exercise 150 minutes every week. Moderate intensity exercise, and it's a good way to do it.
Cool. The lessons? How many minutes can
we've actually just changed our schedule. And the aqua aerobics class is at 11 o'clock every day, Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes for roughly an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good moderate intensity exercise.
Cool.
And fun.
What is a chi?
Tai chi is actually Tai Chi. We've all heard of Tai Chi, an ancient art form discipline.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around for thousands of years. And Tai Chi is the same discipline that a man named Jun Kuno took Tai Chi into the water in the mid-1990s.
Oh.
So we're doing Tai Chi in the water.
Oh.
And it's relaxing, geared towards your core muscles and balance for this more aging adult population. We emphasize the breathing, and it's focused, self-aware, serene, relaxed, and graceful. and everybody needs to try it.
Is that guaranteed?
I just if you will make the commitment to put some time in,
and you
know,
will be graceful.
And it's relaxing to even watch it from my office above on those IG days.
Uh-huh.
And what Rob won't tell you is that he has a huge following of aquarobics and IT folks, so much so that we had to spread out our aquarobic classes from just 3 days to now 5 days because we were reaching the capacity of that small pool at Augustus Brown, which is awesome for that pool.
That's
great.
Getting
people in the water and excited to be at Augustus Brown.
That's great. That's great.
We just have fun. And sometimes we get our faces red.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fun.
Cool. All right. Well, you heard it here. It's summertime at the pool, starting next week.
Yeah.
New schedule, lots of different offerings.
Oh,
classes.
And I do want to say we are closed on Sundays to say congratulations to all the graduates and their families and also allow our staff to participate in graduation activities. So both pools are closed on Sundays, but we've got some special holiday hours on Monday.
And it might be sunny on Sunday, so it might be
yeah, right. Yeah, it'll be slow anyway.
I know, exactly. All right, well, thank you both for all that you do at both pools.
Thank you.
And, go check it out online and see which class makes sense to you and use our fantastic resources here. All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
This is Bird Note. High in a tall cottonwood tree, a pair of great horned owls is tending two nestlings. The young owlets emerged from their eggs in early spring. When the young birds finally put on a second set of down feathers, the parents could leave them alone while they hunted. By mid-April, the nestlings were already showing their namesake ear tufts. They began to leave their big stick nest to climb along the tree's branches. What a noisy pair, waiting impatiently for their parents to deliver food. Now, in May, the great horned owlets are as big as the adults. Their wing and tail feathers have developed nicely, so the owlets have begun making short flights. Yet, they still rely almost entirely on their parents for food. On a recent evening, the adults presented the owlets with a young striped skunk, at 2 pounds a sizable, if somewhat odoriferous, meal. These owls are the only birds that regularly dine on these smelly creatures. Sounds of the birds we feature on Bird Note come from the Macaulay Library at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. I'm Mary McCann.
Support comes from the Alaska Robotics Gallery, offering art that features narwhals, squid, and flying whales, located at 220 Front Street in downtown Juneau. More information at alaskarobotics.com.
Hey, we were talking about summertime with CBJ folks about the pools. I want to let you know that the Northern Light United Church is participating in the Summer Food Service Program, providing lunch and activities at the Geneva Woods Housing Complex. Meals are free and provided for all children and youth 18 and under without regard to race, color, national origin, sex, age, disability, sexual orientation, or gender identity. There'll be no discrimination in the course of the meal service. To find out more, call the church at 586-3131. Okay, it is 28 minutes past the hour, and it is still 56 degrees throughout the capital city. We're expecting a sunny day tomorrow and Saturday. Right now we've got some light rain and high clouds. In the studio with Jeff Brown, the producer and engineer, and myself, Joan Pardis, your Thursday host, we have Meryl Jensen from the Jensen Olson Arboretum, which is out the road. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me down.
And you are here to talk about something that's happening this Saturday.
Yes, that's this Saturday is Alaska Public Gardens Day, and it's not just the Jensen Olson Arboretum, but it's also the Alaska Botanic Garden in Anchorage and the Georgeson Botanic Garden up in Fairbanks.
Okay, and what happens on Alaska Public Gardens
Day? It's a celebration of the public gardens in Alaska, and a couple of years back, the three gardens we got put our heads together to have Alaska Public Gardens Day because there's National Public Gardens Day, but it happens way early in our gardening season, so we thought we would have our own special day instead of, you know, joining in with all the public gardens that are down south that do it in early May.
Yeah, so you're doing it at the right time for Alaska.
Yeah, doing it the right time for us. I mean, there's been a couple of years when we still had snow on the ground during Public Gardens Day. It's one of those, it didn't work out real well. So we've
but
got,
not
anymore,
not
anymore.
Saturday.
Yeah, yeah, okay. It's beautiful out there right now.
So what are the hours?
We're open Wednesday through Sunday, 9 to 5, and this Saturday it's same thing, 9 to 5. We've got a couple of activities planned. I'll be giving an interesting plants tour at 11.
On Saturday?
On Saturday, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to have a scavenger hunt for adults and kids at 1 p.m. And then we're doing a ribbon cutting on our new Chilkat's new shelter at 2:30 p.m.
What is that?
It's a new shelter that's made out of beautiful yellow cedar. It was built by the Juneau Gastineau Rotary Club.
Oh, wow.
And we're going to have a little dedication ceremony, ribbon cutting ceremony. It's a nice place to sit out of the wind, out of the rain. It's got a nice view across the channel. And if it's a clear day like it's supposed to be on Saturday, it's just a beautiful view of the Chilkats.
Right. So nice view is like probably the understatement.
Yeah.
Understatement of the year.
Yeah, it's a nice view.
It's a nice view.
Yeah.
You know, southeast style. You know?
Yeah.
It's a nice view. It's an okay view. So let's start at the very beginning. So that's this Saturday going on. But let's talk about the Arboretum itself.
Okay.
Okay, so what is it? How was it created?
It's a gift to the city of Juneau by Caroline Jensen. She was an amazing person, amazing and generous person. She had this wonderful property that she inherited from Marie and Charlie Olson, who were out there. It was a quintessential Bush Alaska homestead, and her husband Carl inherited the property, and she was just fantastic gardener, got out there and saw the potential and rolled up her sleeves and started gardening. And this was in the early 60s. So when she was getting up in years, in the 90s, she wanted to figure out a way to preserve it. So she got a conservation easement put into place, and she made a deal with the city that said that upon her passing, it would become a gift to the city and to be the Jensen Olson Arboretum. And she passed away in 2006, and we opened our doors in 2007, and it's an amazing place if you haven't been out there.
It is very, very lovely. So I have a few more questions.
Okay.
Saturday is Alaska Gardens, Public Gardens Day. There's three in Alaska, one of which about 20 miles outside the road.
We're at mile 23.
23 to be exact. So you said there's an interesting plants tour. What at 11 on Saturday, what constitutes an interesting plant?
Something that's just totally unexpected, and if you're a plant geek like me, there's, you know, plants that just kind of gravitate towards. The one that's going to be one of the highlights are the Himalayan blue poppies, the Mechanopsis. They're just starting to bloom right now, and if you've never seen a Himalayan blue poppy, they are just jaw-dropping. Another fun one, I'll throw a lot of Latin your way, Astilboides tabularis. It's prehistoric looking thing that as it rolls out of the ground, it just looks like it should have been, you know, back in the Jurassic and have some dinosaur munching on it. We've got Japanese wood poppy, Glossidium palmatum, that's just a fun plant. And then we have the National Primula collection out there, and we've got...
That's like a big deal, right?
Yeah, it's a huge deal.
Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, yeah. Throughout the American Public Gardens Association, there's about 700 members, North America, and out of those 765 gardens have national collections, and we're one of those 65. So it's a really big deal to be in amongst some of the big gardens down south that have just incredible resources, like the Morton Arboretum outside of Chicago. They've got two collections there, but we've got the Primula collection. It's Primula do exceedingly well here in Juneau. They like this kind of weather, this cloudy, overcast, damp. And it's one of those things when I got here, it's like, if you're given lemons, let's make some lemonade with Primula. So that's what we're doing. So, yeah, we've got right around 200 species and cultivars out there. That number fluctuates from year to year depending on what makes it through the winter and what doesn't. I'm always bringing in new material from around the world. I've got seed exchanges that I participate in. I make contacts with botanic gardens around the planet and private collectors that are poking around up in the Himalayas and finding seed from stuff that nobody else is growing.
Wow, that sounds great. So this Saturday, out at the Jensen Olson Arboretum, mm-hmm. from
9 to 5.
9 to 5, and is there a cost?
Nope. We're okay. Open, free to the public.
All right. That's great. Well, thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Your nice view.
Yep, a nice view.
Out the road, which is really, a.k.a., quite stunning.
Yeah.
And telling us about it. All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
"'Twas just a garden in the rain, close to the little leafy lane. A touch of color neath skies of gray. The raindrops kiss the flower beds. The blossoms raise their thirsty heads. A perfume, thank you, they seem to say.
You are listening to Juno Afternoon, coming at you live from Alaska's capital city, specifically the KTOO studios. Jeff Brown is at the board. He's the producer and engineer. And on the phone with us, we have Jessica Edwards calling us from Haines about the Southeast Alaska State Fair. It's summertime in Alaska. Hey, Jessica, how are you?
Hi, Joan. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. So
good.
Let's talk about the fair.
All right.
So let's start with the dates. It's always at the end of July. What are the exact dates?
So we start the 27th of July this year, and we go through the 30th. The first day of the fair is always a Thursday, and we usually pick that last Thursday in July. So we're all in the same month, but it's Thursday through Sunday.
Okay, great. And who's your headliners this year?
Oh, we're really excited. We have a couple great headliners for Friday and Saturday night. We've got Delhi to Dublin playing, and they are from Vancouver. They're, as they sound, world music, kind of fusion, kind of Indian sounds with Celtic fiddle, and they have this kind of pop feel to them, so they're super fun and high energy. Folks who have attended the Atlin Music Festival may have seen that band before.
May have, like, I'm here, like, raising my hand. They are fantastic!
So fun, I know.
Excellent fiddler player, excellent, you know, excellent fun music, great attitude. I saw the poster and I got so excited. So that is, yeah they are fun.
That's going to be Saturday night, so that's definitely worth making a trip to Haines to see them. Friday night, our headliner is fantastic as well, Eric Krasno Band. This is a blues, soul, funk outfit. Eric Krasno has played with a lot of musicians over the years as a backup guitarist and a lead guitarist, and is actually a two-time Grammy winner. He's won Grammys for guitar and also for songwriting and producing. And so this is his first band where he's kind of the lead and is actually singing his own songs. So very talented group of musicians and really fun music. I'll have to send you all a CD so you can get a feel for him.
That sounds great. That sounds great. Wow, that sounds really fantastic on the music. And what else do you have going on? Because I know music and those big headline gigs are big-time news, but you also have so much going on.
We do. So one of the things we're gearing up for right now is we're sending out all this exhibit information to the community. So there's a lot of people who participate in the fair by sending their arts and crafts and baked goods and things to be judged and then displayed in Harriet Hall. So we have a couple of Juneau representatives. They can call the Cooperative Extension Service, or we have a local person who works at the hospital who collects exhibits, whether you're a knitter or you're a quilter or you like to grow carrots. We can put your stuff on display and show the region your creativity. We'd love that part of the fair. And if people want more information, they can always call the fair office, or we have great information and also the guidelines on our website, which is seekfair.org.
Okay, and that's S-E-A-K.
S-E-A-K-fair.org.
Mm-hmm. .org. Mm-hmm. That sounds...
The other... Go ahead.
Nope,
sorry.
You.
Okay, me. We also have a lot of contests during the fair. So if you're going to come to the fair, you can also participate in the fair rather than just being a spectator. We've got a talent show on Thursday night that's very popular. We usually have 25 entries or so. And we have two $400 grand prizes, a youth and adult category. And it is just so much fun. You can be a singer. You can do beat poetry. You can do whatever you want up there except anything that involves fire or animals or sharp objects.
You are such a killer.
Well, there's still a lot of options with that. So that's Thursday night. On Friday, we have a wrestling contest. We're going to have a strong man and woman contest. We also have a wearable art review, which is really fun. So we solicit really great pieces that have shown in Southeast this year. So your Juneau show, the show in Sitka, Ketchikan, we ask people to send their designs up, and we'll do a review of some of the coolest things that have happened with wearable art in the region. And then we also make it open to people who want to do original designs that have never been shown. So that's Friday as well, very popular. There's just so much to talk about. We have so much going on. Singer-songwriter competition. We have 5K, 10K fun run, and a trail half marathon. The wonderful parade, that's Saturday morning. We have a most lovable dog contest. Horseshoe tournaments, I mean, you really can just go on and on. There's also the logging show. You can enter the logging show if you're, I see people, I'm a runner, so I like to run around on trails, and sometimes I'll pass people's yards and I'll see their axe targets up, so I know they're practicing for the axe throwing contest. People are getting ready. So it's happening now. People are thinking about the fair already.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, you have to grab your accommodations if you're looking for something that's brick and mortar. If you're bringing your tent, that might be another story. And also, book your ferry.
That's right. And we have great ferry service this year. We're really excited. You know, a couple years ago, they were doing repairs to the mooring dolphins at our ferry terminal, and the Fairweather Express couldn't make it in. But we have a great schedule this year for people to come up and make a short trip if they have to work or they can't stay too long. There's just lots of options there for ferry travel.
Okay. And is that all on your website, or do they have to go to the AMHS site for that?
We will actually have there'll be a downloadable PDF. People can go under the fair tab on our website and see the arrivals and departures to and from Haines. That's on our website, or you can go to the Alaska Marine Highway as well.
Okay, that sounds great. All right, well, I am sure we're going to talk to you again before it actually takes place, but it sounds like the Southeast Alaska State Fair sounds great. It happens end of July, and you should go check it out at seakfair.org. Anything you want to add, Jessica?
We're just excited. This is our 49th fair this year, and so we're getting excited for this year and also our 50th year, and it's going to be an excellent event, and we encourage people to make a trip to Haines for the weekend, end of July.
That sounds great. And just because Jeff Brown is who Jeff Brown is, he is going to play some Eric Krasnow right now. There you
Wonderful.
Go. So get a little tease of that, and check out Delhi to Dublin online. Go check them out. They're great. Thanks for calling in today.
Thanks, Joan. Have a great day.
Support for KTOO comes from Juneau Airport Shuttle, now providing service to and from the airport and three downtown locations. All flights, every day. For more information and online booking, JuneauAirportShuttle.com.
You are listening to Juno Afternoon. It is 14, almost 13 minutes to the hour, and Nancy DeCharney of the Juno Arts and Humanities Council has walked over from the Juno Arts Culture Center to tell us what to do this weekend.
Well, okay then, let's get started on that.
Okay.
I think there's a few things. So the City Museum is doing their historic tours, walking tours.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have visitors in town or it's just a thing you might want to think about doing, you can buy the tickets online. You can go up to the City Museum, but they're going to be doing them all summer long. But it's, you know, a nice way to get to know your little town.
Sounds
and it ends up with cookies, I think.
Oh, she goes in for the kill.
Yeah, I go, yes. Yeah,
that's how you killed me the other day when I lost it. She got good timing, that Nancy DeCharney.
Okay. So let's see. This evening from 5:30 to 7, there's a public hearing on waste collection services. This may not seem like an art event, but it probably has some relevance.
Okay.
Somewhere. Okay. And that is, where is that being held? They didn't tell me. Oh, at the City Hall. There's fly casting at Twin Lakes tonight.
So oh, if you want,
it's from 6
that
to 8.
Cool. They bring all the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
It's Trout Unlimited is offering that, and they're having lessons and rod demonstrations by, courtesy of Alaska Fly Fishing Goods. So it's a nice way to learn how to do fly casting, which is kind of sometimes very soothing, actually. Especially if you don't catch anything.
Then it gets a little exciting. It's not so soothing.
Friday's the last day of school.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. All right. Everybody's excited about that. There's free Pilates for moms at 6 p.m. at the Yoga Path.
So you could get ready for your kids being out of school.
yes. Let's see. And then at 5:30, there is Qigong for relaxation at the Rainforest Yoga.
Wow.
There's a lot of this sort of stuff. Now, there is also on Friday night from 6 to 9 p.m., Authors at Sea, Hearthside's annual whale watching cruise with, there happens to be wine tasting by Specialty Imports. I can tell you about that. They're down to very few tickets. So.
And that's Friday?
That's Friday night from.
Well, just because they have a Pulitzer Prize finalist on it. Well, pish posh, right? The fantastic Eowyn Ivey is going to be in town,
yes.
Author of Snow Child and her second book.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, the lineup of authors is really, really exciting.
Can we hear about it?
I don't have the whole list in front of me, unfortunately, but you can go to either www.hearthsidebooks.com to see the list or go onto our website. I believe the list is there too. But I saw the list, and they're all people you want to get to know.
Yeah, there's authors' cruises are very lovely.
Yeah, and it should be a fairly pleasant evening.
It's supposed to be, yeah.
So, of course, they said today was going to be, oh, well.
back to the arts.
Yeah. 7 to 9 p.m., Spring Showcase with the Juno Dance Theater, a mixed repertoire program featuring excerpts from Swan Lake and George Balanchine's Tchaikovsky Pas de Deux. There's a whole bunch of cool stuff going on. Things, Janice Hurley, Alicia Fahlberg, all kinds of people will be there. So also performing will be No Attack Post, who is the winner of the Juno's Got Talent on electric violin. So come down for that. That is, I think, at JDHS. Friday Night Live at Alaska Fish and Chips Company at the Flight Deck every Friday through summer. There will be live music and cornhole, rain or shine. So music will be outside unless the weather keeps us indoors. So you can put on your little calendar that there'll be a rock around the block from 5 to 7, and then you can amble over to the fish and
chips. When does that start?
That starts June 2nd.
Okay, that's next week.
Isn't it?
It is.
Where did May go?
I know, newsflash. Yeah, the days are longer, but really?
Shorter and longer in an odd way. Saturday morning from 8 to 10, it's the Juno Audubon Bird Walk up Sheep Creek. So come join that. Everybody's welcome. You can bring some binoculars or whatever and come dressed for the weather, as they say. From 9 to 4:30, there's an introduction to Yan-style Tai Chi at the Greening Park Learning Center. I think that there is a charge for this. You can register by, if you go to our website, which is jahc.org, and go to the calendar, the link for the tickets will be there. At 9 a.m., there's CERT training, free community emergency response team training out at the Hagavig Fire Training Center. You need to register for these, and you do that by contacting Michelle Brown at 586-4517, or again, you can do a link off our web. From 2 to 7 p.m., again, the showcase with the Juno Dance Theater. It's their second and third performance. And at 6 p.m., it is Cornhole Saturdays. I guess they're going to do this every Saturday, rain or shine. And you said something about the public gardens, and I missed it.
Right. So it's Alaska Public Garden Day on Saturday, and so the Jensen Olsen Arboretum will be open from 9 to 5 doing various activities. It sounds like it's going to be quite extraordinary.
And I think the garden is in really beautiful shape right there.
That's
right
why
now.
The Alaska Public Garden Day is in May, or late in May, as opposed to the National Garden Day, which doesn't really align with our Alaska weather.
Things would be white. Let's see, we got Ultimate Frisbee on Sunday from 3 to 5 at Thunder Mountain High School. Every Sunday through the end of July, so come together and play Ultimate Frisbee. At 10 p.m. on Sunday, there's the 2017 Safe Graduation Party over at Centennial Hall. On Monday, there's free tours of the House of Wickersham. Monday is Memorial Day, I believe. It's a holiday. From 10 to 5, there's the tours of the House of Wickersham, which if you've never been through is an interesting piece of our community as well. There's an ice cream social at 1 p.m. at the Juno Senior Center. The first annual Memorial Day end of school ice cream social featuring Copa ice cream. So come on down. Family of four, $25. They've got a variety of prices. So first come, first scooped. All proceeds will be donated to the Junior Senior Nutrition Program and Meals on Wheels.
Excellent.
Yeah. On Tuesday, again, you can do your walking tour. The Marie Drake Planetarium at 7 p.m. presents Total Solar Eclipse at the planetarium. There is a total solar eclipse happening on August 21st, and so this will give you the opportunity to learn more about that. The moon shadow will cross 13 states, so this is the first mainland UAS one, apparently, since 1979.
Cool.
So go down and learn. The planetarium is down by Harborview, between Harborview and the high school. Check that out. On Wednesday from noon to 1, it's the Good Grief Walks at Twin Lakes. You can join hospice and home care for a Good Grief Walk. All community are welcome and participation is free. Stop in there. The historic walking tours again on Wednesday, 6:30 to 7:30, Riverside Rotary Park Master Planning Public Meeting. So there's a planning, maybe doing some changes to the parks out there, so come on down. Hear what is planned and make some of your own suggestions. At 7 p.m. on Wednesday, it is the Juno Symphony's 2017 Youth Solo Competition at the Thunder Mountain High School. It's free and open to the public, and the winners will be announced at a reception immediately following the competition. We have Elizabeth Jolly on violin, Kyle Farley Robinson on piano, Alexander Yu on violin, and Alicia Zamora on double bass. Let me just tell you, from the years of having participated in this, these are kids that are amazing, and they're doing their very, very best because they want to win this competition. It's really a wonderful opportunity for some beautiful music, so stop in there. From 8 to 10 p.m., it's Ultimate Frisbee at the JD High School Turf. Come on down. And that kind of brings us around to the whole week. So it's a little bit calmer than some weeks, but there's still plenty to do.
Well, it's Memorial Day. It's a three-day weekend.
Hot
and then
dogs, you know,
first Friday, next Friday.
I know, my goodness gracious. And we start our summer programming, which is the Rock Around the Block parties, which you'll be hearing more about as they come along. But
and who's the first? What's the first lineup for
first
a week from Friday?
First one is the Juno Concert Band.
Oh.
And, of course, it'll be first Friday, and we will have beer gardens and all kinds of activities as well. So
okay.
I want you to be there for that.
All right. Well, Nancy, thanks for coming over.
Thank you for having me.
And all that you and your mighty staff of six do.
We'll be.
We appreciate it. Okay. All right. Here, I'm going to wrap up the show. It is 4 minutes to the hour. Thanks for sharing your day with Jeff Brown and myself, Joan Pardis. It is
still light rain, high in the mid-50s. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Slight chance of rain. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Highs around 60. Saturday, partly sunny. Highs around 60. Currently, 56 degrees. Tomorrow, tune into Juno Afternoon. If you miss an episode, you can always listen to it on demand at ktoo.org. Tomorrow, they'll be talking about they'll be talking with the composer for the theme of Morning Edition about his first CD, about Saturday's Audubon Birdwalk, and summer programs at the Zach Gordon Youth Center. And Mudrooms, 7 o'clock tonight on KTOO. Listen up. It's supposed to be a great one. I have to listen because I didn't get a chance to go this month. And here we're going to end the show with another artist who's going to be playing at the 2017 Southeast Alaska State Fair in Haines. And this is Gordy Tentries. Hey, I just want to let everybody know that that fly casting night at Twin Lakes, that happened last Thursday. So if you want to go to Twin Lakes, that's all well and good. But Trout Unlimited won't be there with all their fly casting material and great expertise, okay? So sorry about that, and have a great day. Between the reasons we believe.